You're getting the point I'm making. And you see, these are people that you are calling like bishops. What are they passing down? I'm telling you, if that man is praying for the country, it has very little effect. Because every day he says that, what kind of country is this? How can you call this a country? A place where, and one thing after the other. Listen, that is the attitude that does not allow. In fact, those are the things that lengthen the days, the 21 days of Daniel. And that's why it's very important we correct it. Listen, when you are going about your business, listen, if a man is oppressing you, maybe it's a local government, one of these council people, you know, they are charging you unnecessary taxes, tell them like this. It's a matter of time. People like you will be wiped out. So what did they say? Yes. In our church, we pray that people like you won't endure for long. What will he do? He can't do anything. If anything, you scare him. You know, Nigerians, they fear God in that area. Just say, don't worry. What did you say your name was? Chinedu. I'm carrying you to church. He said, come, come. What did you say? You are the prayer point for tonight. Ah, it's the best. Come now. What are you talking? But don't let them put something in your mouth. This country is useless. What kind of thing is going on here? I don't. No. Speak positively. That don't worry. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of just a few more days. People like you will not endure in this place. Say, what do you mean? Yes, we are praying against people like you. I'm serious. I think the time has come for you to talk, say things like that boldly. I'm serious. Look, against the time, I'm telling you. Tell people, they won't do anything. Say, we are praying against people like you. Say, people like you will not endure. This country go good. He said, this kind of urukuruku, very soon people like you will be in prison. Next time they are coming to that your area, leave that guy, troublemaker. Don't forget to add that you are carrying their matter to church. And not a threat to carry their matter to church. Why do the hidden rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What am I saying? All of these things. Listen, don't let anything that's happening around discourage you. It makes your prayers ineffective. When you see something that you don't expect or you don't think is right, what do you simply do? You pray some more. That takes me to the point I want to make today. Quickly open your Bibles to another portion of the book of... We're reading from the book of Isaiah this time. Remember, I'm talking about persistence in prayer. The principles of intercession. The matter of persistence is very important. You don't just pray one prayer. After a year, you don't see results. You are praying for a country. You are praying for the church of God. You understand? I said something earlier, let me just say it again. What God is checking, all right? Because everything in life has a reward. You understand what I'm saying? Everything in life does what? Has a reward, yes. I talked about prayer with reward. If you read my book, How to Work for God, one of the sections there is titled Prayer is Work. That's one of the sections. And I explained one principle there. When Jesus was speaking about praying, he said there are those who like to pray openly. He said they have their reward. You know, when he was talking about in that book of Matthew, that around chapter 5, chapter 6, there are those, what they like to do is to pray in loudly and all of that. He said, very, very, I say unto you, they have their reward. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? Now, if you say a man's praying and he has his reward, I don't have time to go into it, just want to drop it briefly again, is that there is a difference between a reward and an answer. Do you understand my point? If Jesus said, very, verily, they have their reward and it's an answer, and it's good now. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's good. But then what he was saying is this. They come praying, and they are praying loudly to make a show. That's what he was emphasizing, the fact that they are praying to make a show before people. He said they have their reward. What that tells you simply is that there are those who are praying, and they are praying in their closet. You understand? They have a reward with God. That reward is not the same thing as an answer. Because when a man is praying a prayer of intercession, all right, what he gets is like he's working for God. That's what I want to say. You are praying, even though, look, God is not checking whether he answers or he doesn't answer. Whether the 21 days of Daniel expires before he passes away from this earth or not, that's not what he's checking. When it comes to rewarding the person, it is, did he do what I asked him to do? Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? For example, there was Anna. You read the story of Anna in the temple that was praying before Jesus was born. Their reward is different from the answer. You hear the story of Simeon who was waiting. These people were praying. God needed them to guide. It's interesting for us to understand this, all right? Very, very important. Don't think that the angel just showed up in Mary's house, whether the angel liked it or not. I mean, there were movements in the heavens to let the devil, the princes of Persia at that time, know that something was going on. So they were ready to block any angel crossing anywhere recklessly. There had to be people on the earth dragging them in. That's why the role of people like Simeon and Anna, that's why they were important. Without people like that, Mary don't go see anything. No. She will be full of grace from now till tomorrow. Eh? Nobody will tell her about it. No, you see, we don't realize these things are very important. So don't think that things will just happen. God had determined that day it will happen. And part of his determination had to raise people to pray. So what is their reward? Just do your own duty. I mean, think about Samuel. Samuel, he was heartbroken when Israel did what they did. Rejected the direct rule of God and wanted the rule of a man over them and all of that. He now said, God forbid I should sin against him, all right, by not continuing to pray for you. In all their backsliding and everything, he continued to make intercession for them. Now, that is what they call an intercessor. He's always making prayers. And God rewards such people. He does. Now, take someone like Abraham. He interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, but he didn't get that answer he was looking for. But I believe that God now rewarded him by dashing him the lives of the likes of Lot and his children. And in case you do not know it, that's part of the reasons why Isaac came shortly after. You know, it was the year after God visited Abraham on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah that Isaac was born. I don't have time to talk about that now. But the reason why Isaac also took 25 years to come, even though on day one, God also heard him, was that certain things had to be put in place. And that's what I'm trying to teach believers. Don't just live your lives recklessly. Be sitting down with human beings and cursing the nation, cursing the country, criticizing men that God has blessed, and you don't know how God blessed them. So why is he flying a private jet? Should I tell you why he's flying a private jet? He has private money. He has private engagements. Thank you. He can have hire private pilots. Why are you driving a private car? You know, many people are driving private cars. They are sinning more sin than some men flying private jets. Don't live your life. Don't join the multitude. I keep on saying this thing. Don't be there to be different. Everybody is going one way. Go the other direction. Because these things are adding together in your life. That's the point. They're adding together. I'm talking about the reward of an intercessor. When you look at the state you are living in, forget the state for a moment. The village where you have come from. Listen, if you pray for a place persistently, it affects how you spend your money towards them. You know that? Because I'm talking about hope. If you just that all the boys from that your area, none of them, at least when they don't advance well in life, one will be what they call an organizer. Maybe find your money to open one shop and we don't advance. You ask after some of your boys, one of them, it was a kidnapper, they don't kill him. Listen, let me tell you something quickly. Those coming after them, they are going to go the same way. That, get my point. They are going the same way. The only difference, all right, is the light of Christ that God is now shining through you for that place. Are you getting my point? So first thing you do is start praying for them. God start opening your eyes. You realize that one of the problems they have, they don't go to good schools. Like I told one of my friends, he was talking about the story of where he came from, somewhere in Kogi State and all of that. I said, listen, why God raised people like you up is not to go and build one house there and next to you have arrived. You drive one big Tokumbo, you know what I mean, Tokumbo. White man don't use an tire. Come sell them to you. They rejoice. They still breakthrough. I'm not saying it's not breakthrough, but don't get used to it. I said, that's all there is, breakthrough. You all turn them, you are bigger than everybody now, so you're happy. I said, oh, but that's not like that, though. I said, tell yourself, call one or two people that I know have some means. You know, making coppers happy is not difficult. Coppers are not used to being rich. They've been poor until last year when they graduated. Am I telling lies? They're not used to being rich. So make a copper happy in that kind is very simple. I told my friend, I said, two or three of you contribute money. NYC camp, once they are deploying copper, go there, go and visit. What are those? Look for anybody who can teach physics here. Anybody can teach this. Hey, come, we'll give you a house. Once you give a copper a house, you'll solve half of his problems. You know that? Buy him a small generator. No be bush. Guy, he want a pass by neighbor. Buy him there. And then the fuel allowance for a month, 2,000. I said, now contribute 10 extra thousand for each one of them every month. I said, you can do it. He said, it's true. I said, you can do it. I said, if a few of you do this regularly for a few years, all right, in 15 years, you will not be a prominent person there anymore. Everybody will be going to school, graduating. They will all, before you know what's happening, that place is full of successful people. But you know, when Satan wants to keep people in bondage, the man that is blessing, what he needs to do is go and build a house and show everybody that I'm the next Igwe after this one dies. Is that selling the kingmakers ahead? Well, judgment is soon. God is waiting. No, I told my friends, listen, that's not what you need at all. Do you know how much it takes to build a house, to roof a house? It's a lot of money. If you invest that money on coppers, 3 years, it is not... 3 years, they're sitting there teaching physics and chemistry and mathematics. You just pay... You guys contribute 10,000 extra for four coppers, just for 40,000 a month. Times in a year. You've not spent half a million. It can't roof a decent house. You know that? It can't roof a decent house. I said, don't worry. Just do that for a few years. If you want the boys to happy well with yourself, just buy one DSTV. they will never go. What are they going to do for at home? Throughout the year, they are there in your village teaching physics, chemistry, those subjects that, you know, just pick a few subjects. But when your heart is not in the place, ideas like that don't come to your mind. You come, build another big house, which you know you won't stay in. It's not the will of God. Tell your neighbor, it's not the will of God. It's not the will. Look, listen, I know I'm digressing. Now. Christians must think differently. So that's what intercessors are. When they are thinking about the place, all right, it shows in how they relate with the place. That's why I just digress in that direction. It shows, if you are always praying with a right heart, a Christian heart for the country, there are things you don't say about it. I told you, I walked my the boy, he had a lot of respect for me, came to my office one day, wanted to ask for some favors, I should write some things for them, I wanted to put in their other yearbook or something like that, which, you know, all of them will carry for a very long time. He made the mistake of telling me that uninterrupted power supply is not possible in this country. I walked him out of my office. I stopped short of reminding him that his father works in Nepal. That people like them are the ones that ruined the country. That I had to hold myself. I happen to know his father worked in Nepal. But I said, my friend, get up and get out. He said, minimum wage is it 7,000? I don't know. He said, minimum wage is 7,000. I said, as intelligent as you are, you don't know there's a difference between minimum and maximum. Minimum wage is 7,000. Thank God we know that maximum wage is over 100 million. That was what they told us when phones were coming to Nigeria. Obasanjo went to UK and begged Tony Blair to persuade BT Cellnet and Vodafone to come to Nigeria. You know, they sat down and read analysis in newspapers. Those ones said that Nigerians can't afford phones. I'm serious. No, I'm not. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. They said that Nigerians couldn't afford to maintain a mobile line. Because they lied to them that most of our money is passed through the wire, you know, the banking network. Most of our monies are in pockets. You know that? A lot of millionaires in Nigeria, at least those days, they didn't used to take their money through the banks. It's from the market, you know, the guy finished trading, put it back, just is converting his profit on top. No banker sees it. They told us that we could not afford to maintain mobile lines. MTN, where they used to Africa, you know that kind of thing. He said, forget these people. He said, in fact, they said, yes, mobile lines, the Africans can't afford it. They'll be spreading the news so that you won't come. you don't know. Well, I don't have time to be giving you gist. One of our guys who work in all of these oil and gas companies was telling me that the white people amongst them, they always spread gist how dangerous everywhere is. Why? They don't want anybody else to want to come. Because if anybody else wants to come, they may have to go back home. So they kept on increasing the allowance. And one day, that one of their guys in somewhere in Europe said, "Ah, now so dangerous. I know the Greek corn house." No, what I'm telling you, serious gist. That's why people just say, reading news, reading nonsense news. The economy was bad. Money was yet to be made. Those people just say, "Don't mind them. It's difficult, just don't come." All right, you're just back to my thing. So listen, they won't say, they won't tell people the good things that are happening in life. But good things are indeed happening in this country. I said good things are indeed happening in this country.
Amen.
For the fact that you always talk like this, you live like this, you have this hope, God will not disappoint you.
Amen.
I said God will not disappoint you.
Amen.
He will never disappoint you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let me read that message, that portion of the Bible. I want to read the book of Isaiah chapter 62. I said I want to talk about where does the hope come from? Why are we persistent in hope? From verse 6, it says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen." He said, "All day and all night, they will never keep silent." He said, "You who remind the Lord." Now, please notice the word remind. He said, "You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Please notice a few words there. He said, one, there are watchmen. God said, "I have set these watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. All day and all night, they will never keep silent." So another word, silence. That is, in fact, not, that is the opposite of silence. They will not keep silent. Then that's a phrase. He said, "You who remind," that's another word, remind. He said, "You who remind the Lord." He said, "Give him no rest and take no rest for yourselves until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." I've explained this to us before, that when you see the word Jerusalem, don't be hung up on a piece of real estate somewhere in the Middle East. Don't be hung on that. The promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are made applicable to anybody who claims them. Are you getting my point? Now, so it can apply to our nation here also. What I want to bring out is the fact that he used the word, those who remind the Lord. That is, those are the watchmen. That very important point, we are just repeating what we have said before. God wants to do something. Until people pull down that will of God, it does not become a reality on the earth. Again, in this point, you see that he said, there is a period, the 21 days of Daniel. He said, because he said in verse 7, until, that tells you that from the time you begin to pray, until he establishes Jerusalem as a praise on the earth, there will be a period. And he said to them, give him no rest. He said, remind the Lord. Now, what I'm going to bring out here is this. When you say, I was saying, where does hope come from? He said, they should remind the Lord. It means that they have information. I don't know what I heard I said. It means they have information. He said, until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. That is, they understand what it is supposed to be like. Do you understand? That is, they know. And this is how it is from reading the scriptures. All right, from observing things around. From seeing places that God has blessed. And let me say this to you again. There is no nation that develops by itself. It is God that pours a blessing upon peoples. You must understand that. All right? So by having an understanding, by interacting, that's the kind of way I'm going, with the word of God. For example, the Bible says clearly that God's hands are not shortened that he cannot deliver. Now, when they understand all of these things, it gives them hope that, look, God can do the thing that we are asking him to do. You know, sometimes when I watch programs, and I like historical programs, you know, documentaries and all of that, and when I read the kind of violence, in fact, there was one program I saw the other day on, I think, National Geographic, or Discovery World, one of them. It runs regularly, but I've only seen it once, in which they talked about the city of demons, I think in Los Angeles. Yes, LA. So the man was a police officer telling you things that used to happen then. And I was telling my wife, your daddy, I said, listen, this is America, it used to happen like this. And just a few years ago, if you see the kind of hold the mafia had on things in the U.S., you wouldn't believe it. before Rudy Giuliani took over as mayor of New York. The kind of things you see in that place, you are frightening. But as difficult as it may have appeared, like when God came through for them, things changed. God by himself, in fact, if you listen to this message, Derek Prince's aggressive prayer, he made a statement that there has to be a strong man over the mafia. He was talking about the strong man, you know, talking about the Prince of Persia and stuff like that. He said there has to be a strong man over the mafia, that is a demonic principality. All right? He said that's the only way you can explain the amount of power they were wielding. At that time, it was a serious problem. And the Prince was talking about it. But you know, at a point in time, God broke it. God broke the power of the mafia. He broke it. That is, it wasn't just that men determined. These things are spiritual. When God says, the time has come, and people have brought down that power, like we're talking about on all these our teachings, all right? What will happen that suddenly around, things start happening. Like there was a man, you know, everybody fears for their lives. One man just refused to fear for his life. And it was the beginning of what God did in breaking the hold the mafia had. The people just sat and wrote laws that, less than that, the people had to, they ran. Of course, you see, you know, fragments of it here and there, but the power they had at that time disappeared. What I'm going to say is that we see things like that, and we know that God can do anything. Are you getting my point? Yes, he can. And that's why we put such things before our eyes. We read the scriptures, like the one I like to say all the time. When it comes to the matter of justice, God is always displeased when the Bible says that there is no justice. God is always displeased. And anytime we see what is injustice, it's a very important thing. We have to pray about those things. Maybe like you know, the Holy Spirit, I believe, woke me up during the night. I don't know what happened. But anyway, the thing has been on my mind. You know that the guy, you know that girl that was killed in Lagos by some stupid boys? Cynthia. You know the pharmacist that sold them the drug they used to hypnotize her? You know he's in jail till now. He's on trial for conspiracy to commit murder or something like that. The charge is very funny. It's very, very funny. It's a very funny charge because it's documented. I mean, there's no controversy about it that he did not know what they were going to use the drug for. And in Nigeria today, drugs are dispensed recklessly. So he just dispensed the drug recklessly like anybody else, or most pharmacists will do. It's not a big deal, you know, in Nigeria of today. And he probably would not be found guilty of any crime. Except that that trial may take the next 18 months and is in jail. The PCN, what do they call it? Pharmaceutical Council of Nigeria, or the association anyway. They spoke, then wrote petition and everything. But the boy is on trial. Granting bail, now they tell you that murder is not a believable offense. But the boy didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill anybody. You know, anytime I think about him, my heart breaks. I mean, he's a professional, you know, just like I am. You know, he just went to work one morning and did what 10,000 pharmacists do in Nigeria every day. Except that his own dispensing that day was used to commit a crime. And they came, arrested him, and now he sleeps in his cell every day. He comes to court maybe once in a month, because you know the way adjournment is. I don't know why I'm during the night. I was saying, Holy Spirit, yeah, wake up, pray for him. I just woke up. It's as if the boy woke me up. I don't know why, maybe because I'm going to preach today. I just woke up. He was just in my mind. I started praying for him. I don't know him. But what concerns me is the fact that this is a system which is not right. And it can happen to any professional any day. He just went to work in the morning. But because Nigeria has a very funny system in which you put a man in this thing, you did not establish what the lawyers call the prima facie case against him. Yet, because it is in the news and the girl's father is a big man, he's just on trial. So I said no. Now I'm bringing an issue. That's what the Bible calls injustice. What are you going to do? Go and carry a placard and go to Lagos? No, you're not going to do that. As a Christian, all you can do is what? pray. Not just pray for him alone. Pray for that kind of system. It's not a good system. And for those of you who such things come to your mind, I'm challenging you again. Pray for Nigerian judicial system. Justice is too slow. And we keep on saying justice delayed is just denied. But we don't seem to bother. And it surprises me. The lawyers don't seem to care. They don't make money from it. That's the painful part. They don't. They don't. That's the painful part. They don't make money from it. Because few people go to court because of that. No, look, Satan blinds us. We don't realize what we are losing. But we will not continue like this. That anime. Amen. We can't. You know, we can't. The court is where a man who doesn't know anybody, that's where he goes to talk. That is where there's justice. That is just established. This is what happened. This is what did not happen. But a lot of people don't. They are afraid. The thing is going to drag for months and for years. Now, why am I saying all of these things? All right? Now, so when you see things like that, all right, it's a matter of prayer. And I'm telling you again, let me declare it again. While you are watching, in fact, in a short while, justice in Nigeria, let me promise this one, it will increase in speed at least tenfold.
Amen.
Now, tenfold is not fantastic. It will still be a bit slow, but I'm sure of that. By virtue of the prayers we are praying for the nation, that tenfold increase we'll see it over the next 18 months.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nigerian judges still write with pen. It's ungodly. What did I call it? It's not good. If you've ever been to court before to testify, you don't understand what I'm saying. What you can say in 1 minute takes 10 minutes. Because the judge or the magistrate has to write it by hand. All the times I've been to judicial proceedings, you know, different ones, different places, it's been the same thing. Okay, I wouldn't know. Just say, okay, yeah, so you said this, say that. I start talking. Then they will tell me to please pause, that they have to write. So the story itself, no go sweet again. I'm used to it now. If I ever have to go anywhere like that, I'm used to it. I say, when they say, for your record, state your name. My names are, I will pause. I'm used to it now. Daniel Bankole Olushina. What work do you do? I am a pathologist at the University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. Do you know about the case of Mr. ABC XYZ? Yes, I do. What was your involvement in that case? On the 15th of July 2010, I performed a post-mortem examination on his dead body. During your examination, what did you find? My findings are as follows. One, I'm not joking. I've been to many. So the story I could have told in 5 minutes. 1 hour. At the end of 1 hour, the judge is tired. I am tired. The lawyer is tired. Listen, that's why you see, check Nigerian adjournments. It's 1 month. You watch American films, they adjourn to the next sitting day. They adjourn for as long as the lawyers ask for that. Please, we need time to do this and this. And so the judge says, okay, all right, you have 48 hours for that. So this case hereby adjourns, so. That's it. Otherwise, it's till tomorrow. And people talk normally, they argue, they talk normally. In Nigerian court, you can't. So when we see things like that, it's not a cause for criticism. It's not a cause for complaining. It's a cause for what?
Prayer.
And let me tell you something. God will answer you.
Amen.
I said God will answer you.
Amen.
It will be because of you change that method. I asked a lawyer in Enugu. I said, why is it like that? He said it's because of money. Former vice chairman of NBA Nigeria, I think he's been the one or the head of Enugu. I said, are you serious? He said, it's money. I said, money is why you and all the judges are suffering like this. He said, it's money. And I'm telling you, it's not money. It's a spiritual problem. It manifests in money. The machines for making sure we don't behave like that are available. They say, what if you buy it that there's no generator? This NEPA wahala, no be smart, you know. That why they are not buying the machines, that there will be no generators to power them. So the day there's no light, courts won't see it. Thank God for Fashola. Fashola has bought the machine. You know that man. He don't buy the machine, and he's a lawyer. He don't buy the machine. We will buy a generator, no worry. It will be solved in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, what is my message today? My message for today is this. Have an expectation. I think I've summarized everything now. Have an expectation and don't let go of it. Let me say it again. Have an expectation and don't let go of it. Let me say one more time. Repeat with me. Have an expectation and don't let go of it. Don't forget, it is the power of that expectation that's bringing forth good. Whatever power we are generating in Nigeria today, let's prophesy. Within the next 24 months, it will double.
Amen.
I don't know what Chinedu Nebo said, though. All I know is what we want. Within the next 12, that is our peak capacity today. Our prayer is that within the next 12 months, it will double.
Amen.
You know, those days, our pastor was having a meeting. Said that now we are not doing 4,000 megawatts or 6,000. Telling the foreign investors. So one man asked whether that was for a segment of Lagos. But this man is serious, that is the whole country. I don't know whether I get the point. No, our guy was bragging that, yes, we have tried. We are not doing like 6,000 megawatts. So one American was like, for what? I mean, like, is it two streets in Lagos using that? Or so it's doable. That's what I'm not explaining. And it's not hard. We can do it in less than 24 months. I said, will we see that doubling in less than 24 months?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember, have an expectation and don't let go of it. Don't forget, God indeed will answer you.
Amen.
I said, God indeed will answer you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow down here to pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Just give him thanks for today. Thank him for his word. Thank him for it. Prophesy good over this nation again. In fact, I think that's what our intention is about. Say, from the north to the south, wars we cease in the name of Jesus. Prophesy it. That from the north to the south, from the east to the west, wars we cease. That there will be economic prosperity. Peace is our portion. Declare that peace, you know, I said peace and prosperity are joined together. That peace is our portion. That peace is our portion. Declare that peace is our portion. Declare that prosperity is our portion. Declare it that you will see the good that God is bringing into this nation. So our power generation will double within the next 24 months. In the name of Jesus Christ. That we will see marked improvement. Why I'm just saying that is that because as it doubles, uses will increase. Industries will open, so we have to keep increasing. So occasionally we may see them take off like that. It's not because we're not making progress, but because we'll continue to use them in greater measures. So it will double and it will continue to increase. Say, concern our judicial system. The Lord will bring speed to justice in Nigeria. That's a good way to put it. That God, you will bring speed to justice. Say, Lord, you will bring speed to justice. That you will bring speed to justice. That, Lord, you will bring speed to justice. That you will bring speed to justice. In the name of Jesus Christ. That speed will be brought to justice. That justice will be speedily delivered in this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. I just give him thanks for today. Because he is good. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I declare to you again that goodness will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said goodness will follow you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The mercy of God is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Goodness will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The mercy of God is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. you will live and you will not die in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will see the good that God is bringing into this nation in this your life in a short while in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare the prosperity of God upon you, the healing power of God upon you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.